Hey everybody, welcome to Mosaic House Online Worship. Easter has come and it is gone. And you have heard, I bet you have heard from the gospel and from the Bible, the angels declaring, he's not here, he's risen. But I say to you, since he is risen, he is not here. I'm talking about the ascension of Jesus Christ. What difference does it make that Jesus is not here, but he is ascended? Now, listen. You see Jesus behind me, next to me? No, you don't. Would you find Jesus in Jerusalem? No, you won't. Would you find Jesus anywhere on the face of the earth? The answer is no. And why not? Because he is risen. He is not here. He is ascended. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father. And that is the summation of the ascension of Jesus Christ. He is risen, he is not here, because he is ascended. A more practical question is, what difference does the ascension of Jesus Christ make to you? Does it change anything for you and me? Now, think of a historical fact, an event that took place, like a man landing on the moon many years ago. It was a fact, an historical event, and yet, did it change you? Does it transform you? I'm not entirely sure, but the ascension of Jesus Christ does change you, and not only you, but the history of humanity. So let's go there. I want to take you to the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. And in this short passage, as I read along, as you read along with me, hear the word of the Lord, pay attention to the following words. Words like heaven, words like sky. Because whenever there is a repetition, pay attention, because whatever is being repeated is a key thought. So hear the word of the Lord. Acts chapter 1, verse 1 through 11. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So words like sky and heaven. How many times did you hear me say those words? Oh, I counted about four or five times. Verse 2, until the day he was taken up to heaven. Verse 10, they were looking intently up into the sky. And verse 11, why do you stand here looking into the sky? And one last time, the same Jesus, the angel said, the same Jesus will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Again, therefore, the key thought, the main idea is the ascension of Jesus Christ. The author of the book of Acts, which is Luke, and I'll tell you more about him later, he wants to make sure that you get this main thought, which is Jesus is ascended. He is not here. He is risen, and therefore you can't find him anywhere. Now, you might say, how is there good news? I will get to that. So here's the main thought and the main idea, the theme and the goal. The ascended Jesus is empowering you with the Holy Spirit. The ascended Jesus, Jesus who is not here, is what? He is empowering you with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is not here. He is risen. And since he's risen, he's not here. He's ascended. Question. So what is the ascended Jesus doing? What's he doing? What's doing up there? He's not here. What's he doing? The first thing he did do was to send the Holy Spirit. And that's the first thing he did. I read from John chapter 6, verse 7. And pay attention to this. This is so important for you to hear. Christ speaking, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. Jesus is saying, it is better for you that I go and leave you, because unless I go, I will not send the Holy Spirit. That is the Advocate, someone who counsels, someone who advocates on your behalf, someone just like Jesus Christ. So it is better for you and me that Jesus ascended to heaven and did not stay on the face of the earth. It is better for you. Now, who is the Holy Spirit? I don't have time to go in depth, but simply let me say this. This is so important, and I'm going to move fast. So, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. The Bible declares there's only one God, one Lord, one Creator, one God. However, in this Godhead, there is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. How many gods? One God. But in one Godhead, there are three persons: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Father is not God the Son Jesus, and God the Son Jesus is not God the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is not God the Father. They are distinct persons. And yet there's only one God. Now, the work of the Holy Spirit is this. The reason it is better for us, for you and me, that Jesus ascended is so that he may send the Holy Spirit, because when the Holy Spirit comes, he is ubiquitous. He is everywhere. Now, God the Son, Jesus Christ, in his humanity, he was limited. He was not omnipresent. That is to say, he was not everywhere at the same time. When he walked on the face of the earth 2,000 years ago, he remained in this tiny little place in Israel. He never went to Korea. He never came to Canada. And that was not good, because we would have never, never received Christ, because he is limited in his humanity. However, the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus sent, he is spirit. He's not in a bodily form. He's not limited. And therefore, he can be anywhere, everywhere, to everyone. And that is a fantastically good news. The Holy Spirit is like Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ mobile for everyone, for you, for me, and the Holy Spirit reveals to us who Jesus is. So one good news is the Holy Spirit is with you, with everyone. Jesus Christ, he is right now in heaven. He's not here. He's not there. He is ascended. And therefore, he sent the Holy Spirit. Let's continue on. Another great thing that the Holy Spirit does for you and me, John chapter 6, verses 13 to 15. Christ speaking once again. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and what he will tell you is yet to come. He will glorify me, this is Jesus, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what He will make known to you. Did you catch that? Once again, the Holy Trinity working simultaneously together. One God, three distinct persons. God the Son, Jesus Christ, He made known to the disciples what God the Father had known to Him. And now the Holy Spirit is making known to you and me what Jesus Christ, God the Son, has made known to His disciples. So the Holy Spirit makes known everything that you believe about Jesus Christ, every truth in the Bible, every truth about God the Father is being made known to you through the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to receive, retain, and to embrace and apply the truth and the grace of the Holy Scripture. Now, in the book of Acts, the title is Acts, and many scholars think, and that's because it's the Acts of the disciples. The disciples whom Christ discipled in the book of Luke, now they are going and they are acting out that which Christ commanded. Go and make disciples. But many theologians, including myself, I wonder if a better title is the Acts of the Holy Spirit. It's first and foremost the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And because of that, the disciples are acting wherever they go, whatever they do. They are doing, engaging in the Acts of the Holy Spirit. So, once again, the theme and the goal is the ascended Jesus is empowering you with the Holy Spirit. And I want to parse out just two ways how the Holy Spirit is empowering you and me. Number one, please write these words down in your sermon outline in the blanks. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, you become convinced that Jesus is ascended. It is through the power of the Holy Spirit that you are convinced, you believe, and you grasp, and you conform yourself to this truth, this event, historical event, that Jesus is what? Ascended. Verse 2. Until the day Jesus was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit, it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And here's what I find so interesting. Verse 3. Are you ready for this? Verse 3. After His suffering, Jesus, He presented Himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that He was alive. You know that word, He presented Himself? It can be also translated into the word, He proved Himself to them and gave many convincing proofs. Now, pause right there. Christ was crucified, and His followers witnessed that. Christ died, and His disciples saw that, and Christ was buried into the tomb, and they all became eyewitnesses of that historical event. But then He rose from the dead. And what did Jesus do? He gave them convincing proofs that He was alive. And the verb there in Greek is He kept giving them and kept on giving them proofs after proofs after proofs. He did this for not just one day, not just 2 days, but over 40 days. And during the 40 days of period, all He did was, hey, doubting Thomas, come, look at my hands. See the holes? Let me take your hand. Place your hand to my side. You see the gaping hole from the spear? Look at my feet. Look at my forehead. See all the scars? I am the same Jesus who was crucified, who died, but I am alive. Friends, the disciples needed convincing proofs because they did not believe Jesus rose from the dead, did they? Not initially, no. Far from it. They did not expect Jesus to come back to life. In fact, the opposite was true. They expected the dead man to remain dead. Let me repeat that. The disciples, the followers of Jesus Christ, they expected They expected man. They expected the dead man to remain dead. Now, you might be saying this. Well, they believed that Christ rose from the dead because they were primitive people. They were superstitious, right? Okay. But you yourself, you might say, my worldview, I'm a modern person. I don't believe in the resurrection. I don't believe that a dead man can come back to life. Okay. Well, friends, I respect your position. I used to believe what you believe as well. Okay? Now, we're talking about worldviews. What's a worldview? A worldview is your understanding of how the world works. So, for example, your worldview says everything can be explained scientifically, and therefore, science cannot explain dead man coming back to life, and therefore, your worldview says you don't believe that. Another worldview. This is all there is to life. There is no life after death. So when we die, that's the end of it. And that is your worldview. It is your understanding of how the world works, how life works, right? What, friends? These people who lived 2,000 years ago, you may say they were more ancient than we, but you may say they were more primitive than we. Okay, but their worldview, listen to me, their worldview would not have them believe that a dead man could rise from the dead either. It went against their worldview. Jews believed one day at the end of time, there will be the resurrection of the dead. But no Jew believed, according to their worldview, 2,000 years ago, that Jesus could rise from the dead. It went against their worldview. They weren't expecting Jesus to come back to life. And that's why, for over 40 days, Jesus had to prove himself with convincing proofs and evidences that he was alive. Well, let's talk about Luke and Theophilus. Because Luke writes, he wrote two books in the Bible. The Gospel according to Luke, that's the first volume. The second volume, which I call the sequel, is the book of Acts. Same author. And what's his name? Luke. Here's what we know about Luke. Luke was a physician by profession. He was well educated in Greek culture. His command of Greek language is meticulous, top notch. And he was, by birth, a Gentile, not a Jewish person. He did not believe. His worldview told him that it's impossible for a dead man to come back to life. He was a well-educated, intelligent man, just like you. He wrote both volumes, Luke and the book of Acts, to his recipient, and his name is Theophilus, which means friend of God, Theos, Philos, friend of God, or beloved by God. We know about Theophilus the following facts. In all likelihood, Theophilus was a Roman official because Luke addresses him, O most excellent Theophilus. That title, that honorarium, is honorary title is given to Roman officials. So Theophilus was a man of position, man of power, man of influence, man of intelligence. Now, both of them, two intelligent, educated people, they became followers of Jesus Christ. And the reason Luke is writing both volumes, Luke and Acts, is to verify, to come up with fact checks. Let me take you to Luke chapter 1. Luke 1, verse 1 through 4. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those from the first, by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. Did you catch that? They heard about Jesus, and they began to believe in Jesus. But Luke just didn't say, hey, it's just a blind faith. It's like, oh, I wish this were true. No, no, no. What Luke is doing is, as a journalist, as a historian, he's going around. He's interviewing all the eyewitnesses of the account of Jesus Christ, and he is doing fact checking. He's checking the facts. This is what I heard. Did this really happen? Yes, it did. He is writing an orderly account, not only for him, not only for himself, but for Theophilus. Because not only do they have the convincing proofs that Jesus is alive, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, they believe in faith and by fact that Jesus is ascended. Question to you. Do you just believe all this without fact checking? I was one of those early on in my faith journey. And because I did not do the fact checking, I fell away. I said, this is just a conspiracy. It's a movement. And the followers of Jesus Christ made this up. Or it's a wishful thinking. It's like having a crutch. You're having a tough time. You got to lean on something else. So you want to believe this is true, which is a wish. But when I did my fact checking, when I recognized that all these were actual historical events, my faith turned around. So what about you? You need the convincing proofs. And when you have them, the Holy Spirit will use them and you become convinced not only is Jesus alive, but he's ascended and he's seated at the right hand of God. Let's move on. Second power of the Holy Spirit. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, you accomplish the unfinished mission. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, you engage in the unfinished mission of Jesus Christ, and you become so devoted to what? Finishing, accomplishing the unfinished mission of Jesus Christ. Verse 1, Acts 1, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Right there, the unfinished mission of Jesus Christ is preaching, advancing the kingdom of God. Friends, what is a kingdom? Kingdom is the domain of a king. And who is this king that the Bible is referring to? It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is indeed a king. Not only any king, he is the king of the universe. And he wants his kingdom to be accomplished fully. And that's what this is all about. And this is why his followers in verse 6, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They were expecting, is Jesus' kingdom going to come fully realized and materialized? For Jesus, his kingdom is his domain in which his rule and reign will accomplish everything that God wants to be accomplished. Like you and I living in harmony. Like you and I loving God the Father with all of our heart. Like you and I living in a life, in a world where there is no more pandemic. You and I living in the kingdom of Jesus Christ where there is no more death, no more pain, no more suffering, where there is no more evil. Everything will be like the paradise. And that is the kingdom of God, which Jesus came and he launched the kingdom of God. And even though he launched his kingdom, it is not fully accomplished. And that's why Jesus says, I am going to send you out. In verse 8, on one occasion, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the promised gift whom the Father will send, of him about whom I spoke about, right? And that is the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will receive power and you will be my kingdom agents. Jesus' idea of fulfilling, finishing the unfinished work of his mission is you and I becoming an eyewitness of Jesus Christ to the world. When you and I tell someone, Jesus is not only alive, He is ascended, and therefore He is in control, and He is ruling and reigning at the right hand of God the Father. And one day He will come, and He will make all things new. Jesus wants you and me to get the job done. You see? Okay. Now, friends, the disciples, they didn't get it. This is after Jesus Christ proved Himself with many, many, many convincing evidences, right? Even then, they still didn't get the mission of Jesus Christ. They thought, Lord, are You going to restore kingdom to Israel? They are looking for a political, military independence from the Roman Empire. Now, before we slam the apostles for missing it, I find it very encouraging. What do you mean, you ask? I mean, isn't it true that you and I, we sometimes miss the focus too? You and I, oftentimes, let's be honest, we think life is all about me and you. Even following Jesus, it's about our happiness. And yet, when the penny drops in the power of the Holy Spirit will convince you. Right now, He is convincing you. The reason I am still breathing is so that I may become an eyewitness of Jesus Christ to the people around me. That is the focus. And I am so encouraged that the apostles, they missed it. Not once, not twice, but repeatedly. And I find Jesus Christ so understanding and patient through the Holy Spirit. So let me end with three applications. It's an acronym, ACT, A-C-T. The ascended Jesus Christ is empowering you with the Holy Spirit, right? So first letter A, ask for the gift of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit is a gift. You don't earn it. You don't work for it. It is asked and received. Luke chapter 11, this is Jesus saying, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? What a wonderful gift. What a wonderful invitation. We don't earn the gift of the Holy Spirit. We don't work for the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is simply given. The Father is, Father God is saying, just ask, and I give you the gift. And when you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, He will make all the truth about Jesus Christ make known to you. Number two, so A stands for ask, C stands for commit. Commit to the mission of the Holy Spirit. Again, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The mission of Christ is alive and well. It began in Jerusalem, the capital city, and then it spread to all of Judea, the province. And outside of Judea, it even spread like a wildfire, all the way to the regions of Samaria, and from Samaria to the ends of the earth, which is the Roman Empire. And even today, the mission of Christ is being accomplished right here, even in Edmonton, Canada, and wherever you may be, to the ends of the earth. So commit yourselves to the mission of the Holy Spirit. A, ask. C, commit. T, trust. Trust the leading of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is alive and well, and He is living in you if you follow Jesus Christ. And He is leading you. He's prompting. He is giving you the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And He will only make known to you what Christ is saying in the Scripture. So you can always check that, right? Because oftentimes, I have heard people say, oh, Holy Spirit is leading me to do A and B. And I say, doesn't sound like the Holy Spirit. They ask me, how come? Well, it doesn't sound like Jesus Christ at all, because Holy Spirit is just like Jesus Christ. If Christ would not say that, then the Holy Spirit would not say that either. I asked a friend of mine, hey, friend, how do you know if you are following the leading of the Holy Spirit? How does the Holy Spirit lead you? His response was this. He said, I hear, not audibly, but I sense, I have this feeling, conviction, that the Holy Spirit is saying, hey, I'm giving you the joy of the Lord. And I said, then what do? He said, well, sometimes I force myself to live in the joy of the Lord. How interesting. Now, it's not a lack of faith. He's being honest. He's saying, I don't feel the joy of the Lord. But because I believe that the Holy Spirit is giving this to me, I'm going to conform my feelings, my acts, and my volition, my behavior accordingly. Friends, that is a sign of faith, not absence of faith. He believes. He wants to believe. And it is true. It's a fact that the Holy Spirit is giving him the joy of the Lord. So he's saying, I am going to live in that joy today. And friends, for me, I follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, telling people about Jesus Christ. For the longest time, I said a prayer, oh, Lord Jesus, give me the power of the Holy Spirit. Because you promised in the Bible, you will receive power and you will do my work. You will do my mission. So I kept praying, oh, Holy Spirit, give me your power, give me your power. And one day, I heard this, not an audible voice, but the inner voice, Victor, I promise I'll give you the power. I gave it to you. Stop asking for it. Act upon it. And ever since, I believed, I assumed, I acted as if I received the power of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus' promise is true. I know that because He's ascended and He sent the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is giving us this power. In conclusion, when is Jesus returning? Last time I checked, the disciples were not looking into the sky waiting for Jesus' return. When is He returning? When you and I accomplish the unfinished mission of Jesus Christ. Then He will return and He will make all things new. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, may we experience the nearness of the Holy Spirit. May we embrace His power, the power of the Holy Spirit. And may we act upon the boldness of the Holy Spirit. Be with all my friends who are worshiping You on this platform. May they hear Your voice now. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.